Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And last week we did part one of a study on Noah's flood. And I mentioned last week that the motivation for doing so were articles that are coming out and have come out in previous years, and the false teachings of a ministry called Reasons to Believe, a Hugh Ross ministry, that the flood of Noah was not global, but it was local. And I just wanted to just do a study that just concentrates on what does the Bible teach about the flood of Noah. And in times past, I've done it with my own animations and different training aids. And as I emphasized last week, I really encourage people to see the animations produced by Brian Nickel by just YouTube searching on Brian Nickel, Nickel. And he has several very well done animations. You can also go to creationscience.com and see Dr. Brown's ninth edition work for free online. You can read his book online. And also, Brian Nickel doesn't have a teaching on earthquakes, the real reason why there's earthquakes in the world today. And that's a teaching that I did down at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa in 2012 during a creation science investigation, CSI. It was called Creation Science Investigation. And that's on our website, Earthquakes 2012 Update. And so, and some people have appreciated, you know, again, earthquakes. Everybody's interested in earthquakes. And the Bible says they're going to go global, but what seismologists say about earthquakes today is that they could never go global, that it's impossible for an earthquake to go global. Well, the Bible says it will be global, so there must be a reason why they're wrong. And they're wrong because they don't understand why there are earthquakes, and there are earthquakes today because of what happened in the flood of Noah. And that's based on the hydroplate theory. The hydroplate theory is the only theory of the flood that's both biblical and scientific, and actually would predict that the current earth is going to someday experience a global earthquake. And there's no other theory of the flood that would be consistent with having the stage set for global earthquakes someday. So just as a little review before we get into verse 8, I'm starting in 6:4, Genesis 6:4. We're covering last week's a little bit, just for those that are joining us. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God, and I'm going to just say what we learned last week without explaining it, because we did that last week, when the sons of God, angels, demonic angels in context, came into the daughters of men, maybe as a doctor goes in for in vitro fertilization today, and they bore children to them, demonic hybrid children. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry. And we emphasize, you know, it's like, how does God get sorry? Repented. He turned away from the creative effect of man, making man. He turned away from that to say, I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to destroy the earth. I created the earth. I created man. Now I have to destroy the earth and destroy man because of the wickedness that has filled the land, filled the earth, so that I can save eight. So he could save eight people. Otherwise, it would have been totally wiped out. As soon as Noah and his family would have been killed, murdered by these violent people, or just died of old age with nobody listening to them, they're preaching for 120 years, nobody listens to them, they die. There would be nothing. It would have been gone. And so God had to destroy. He repented from his creative blessing effort towards man to destroy it, that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Global. That's, you know, I'm going to destroy man that I've created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. And as Romans 8 says, even the creation is groaning as a result of man's sin. One time I was working in the shipyard, and this lady just had a real hard time with the Bible's treatment of animals. I can understand them judging men, but why the animals? Well, Romans 8 says creation is groaning. It's been subjected, not willingly. But you guys are corrupted too. And, you know, the lamb says, yeah, I used to hang out with the lion, and now he wants to eat me, later on. So it's just, after the flood. So creation got messed up. I don't know how mosquitoes were before things, before the fall, and all these snakes and everything else, except we're going to look at some verses that tell us that something changed. Because when God changes it back, what's going to happen to poisonous snakes? Are poisonous snakes a problem when Jesus comes back? No, because it says the young child will lay his hand on an asp den and it won't even hurt him. A lion will eat straw. A wolf will lie down with the lamb, etc., etc. And so everything's going to be fixed back to the way it was. But at the time, God says, you know, I have to destroy man. And sorry, birds and animals and plants and, I mean, birds and animals and all this stuff. You have to suffer too. You're going to be, not suffer, you're going to be eliminated too, except for those that are on the ark. So, verse 8, picking up, that's what we covered last week in detail. It's on a website for those that want to go back and hear the detailed part of that. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why? Why did he find grace? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, we're going to find out because he was a holdout. And see, you're a holdout. For you that are born again here, you're a holdout. The whole world is going after the wide way that leads to destruction. And you said, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend my life fighting God. I don't want to go off and party and live for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. God, forgive me for the times that I have sinned against you, and I want you to change me. Well, Noah was the same thing. He was a holdout. He was a remnant. Didn't want to go along with the rest of the world. Like Abraham. Abraham was a holdout. He was in an idolatrous area there in Ur of the Chaldeans, and he said, I'm Josephus says he alone was fighting the people on their idolatry. He was saying, make it a case for why are you guys making idols? And God chose him because he was a holdout. He was a remnant. A lone survivor, if you will. And humble. Yeah, and God gives grace to the humble. A holdout is somebody who's humble. You cannot be prideful in the eyes of God and be one of the remnant holdout. The first thing we have to sacrifice is our pride. To say, God, you're God, not me. You say what to do. I want to do it. I don't care if the people don't like you and want me to not like you either. I want to do what God wants to do. It takes humility. This is the genealogy of Noah, verse 9. Noah was a just man. See, the God looks down, and he was a man who was seeking to please God, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he begot those sons when he was 500 years old. Now, it's possible. The Bible doesn't record every single child a person has. It's not like he was childless for 500 years. He might have been. But it might have been he had children before that, that are not listed in the biblical record. It's not saying, and his first children at 500 years old were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And if that's the case, then that means his earlier children, what? What did they do? They went with the world. They went and joined the world in all of their debauchery, but the last ones that he got around 500 years after they decided to join him on the boat. Now, what does it mean, perfect in his generations? I don't know. It's the only place that this is mentioned. The only phrase, perfect in his generations, is found only right here. And some people say that what it means is that his bloodline was unaffected by the Nephilim bloodline. That he was set free from that. Now, again, it seems like there was demonic hybrids that then could have had relations, these giants that were made, and they had relations. And then they would have those children would have had children and children, and there could have been a corruption of the human genome with demonic hybrids, which would have contributed to the evil that was going on land. Again, that, I don't know if that's the case. I know that the book of Enoch that we have available to us is saying that's the case. I don't know if the book of Enoch that's available to us that we can read is accurate to what was written by Enoch. And if you think about it, if Enoch wrote the book of Enoch, and which is, you know, we have from Jude saying that Enoch wrote this, then it would have had to been a book that stayed on the ark. You know, Noah would have had to take it on the ark. It would have had to survive and been copied accurately over the years. But there was great concern over the influence of the demonic hybrids in those days, according to the book that you can read. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Imagine how it must have been. You know, just even our local news, the people over in Burien a couple weeks ago, they were just bemoaning that people are just getting shot, just walking down and bullets flying over and just in our area. And they said, I've lived in all kinds of places in the world, never have I gone out where I have to think to dodge bullets. And I have to, you know, I have to worry about my safety. Nothing compared to what must have been going on in the days of Noah. Some people ask why there aren't more human fossils. Maybe, again, there weren't that many around. Maybe there was so much murder and so much violence that there wasn't that many people on the earth to be fossilized in it like the rest of the animals in the flood. Verse 12, so God looked upon the earth, global, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So now, God looked upon the earth. Does that seem local or global? Now, I'm going to emphasize, every time I get, I'm going to emphasize this. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh, what's that? Global. And he doesn't say all humans. He says all flesh. You know, air-breathing flesh. That's global. Has come before me, for the earth, global, is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now see, this is important. I'm going to destroy the humans. I'm going to destroy living kind, breathing man and animal, along with destroying the earth. He has to destroy the earth to destroy all man. And now I'm going to quote from Reasons to Believe website, the Hugh Ross website. And this is their page that says a global flood is a global flood scientifically possible? And their answer is no. They say it's not scientifically possible, so it can't happen. But they get their science wrong. But this is what they say. Christians have long debated the extent of the flood recorded in Genesis 6 through 9. Typically, old earth creationists suggest it was a local flood, which is what they are. They are old earth creationists. They believe we've been around for billions of years. Hugh Ross and the Reasons to Believe website people. Whereas young earth creationists argue for a global flood. Reasons to Believe holds to the position of a universal flood, one that God used to destroy all of humanity that was not global. Universal kill-off that was local. That's what they believe. That was not global in geographic extent. Universal flood, one that God used to destroy all of humanity that was not global in geographic extent. Since humanity had not yet spread to cover Earth, the flood did not need to cover the entire globe. Now, so he's saying, okay, he did get rid of all the people except eight. But he didn't have to flood the whole Earth to do that. Because he can't. There's not enough water to flood the whole earth. That's their scientific part later on. So it's just because people hadn't moved around that much yet that he just killed them. And it was just a local flood. Now, we're going to cover, with that in mind, we're going to still see there's no way. There's absolutely, you have to just completely ignore all of what the Word of God says, including the fact that he says, I'm going to destroy the earth, along with the people that were alive. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Um, And, you know, so in other words, they would say, well, no, we agree that everybody died but eight, but he just didn't have to destroy the earth. The Bible says he had to destroy the earth. And plus, birds can get away from local floods, right? But all the birds are going to die. A lot of people are going to die. Air-breathing dinosaurs that were alive, they could have gotten away and from a local flood. All the animals could have run. Maybe, you know, animals today can run away from a local flood. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." So again, it's clear eight souls lived. All of our ancestry can trace back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their children. And, you know, I when it says, "What race are you today?" I put it down when you have to fill out some form and it says "other," I put "other" down there. And then if they ask me, "What other are you?" I'm human race. Because I've said this before, and people are into their genealogies, and I'll say, "I know where my genealogy goes. I've traced it all the way back. I've traced my genealogy all the way back to my first ancestor." Which one's that? Shem, Ham, or Japheth? Because that's where we all came from. And so we have to understand, shared this during our Sunday evening services last year, those three families, their children had all the genetic information to become all the different, quote, races that are here today, which we define. You know, we use races like scientists make species. If we were animals, they would say, "Oh, there's the black species, there's the Asian species, there's the white species." But we're all one kind, right? We're humankind. We're all one kind. And the parents were good. "Oh, look at this child. Oh, hairy. It's like a goat." Remember? Jacob and Esau. "This one's all, this one's like fine skin. Nothing there. Oh, this one's black. I wonder why this one's eyes look so Asian." Before Asian was Asian. Why is this, you know, they would have been having children of every different type and size and hair color and eye color and, everything that's genetically variable in the human species was all wrapped up in the genes of Adam and Eve all the way down to Noah and his sons. And whatever got filtered out between Adam and Eve and Noah was not their loss. See, we lose genetic information. And then it was still, they still had a lot of genetic variability in their offspring. And then what's happened over the years, the Tower of Babel separated. God gave the languages to kind of separate the gene pools. And since then, they've been further separated by the practices and attitudes of man. "Hey, you're weird. You're white. You know, yeah, you had black parents, but you're white. You're not going to get fed tonight or tomorrow or the next day. Go move. Get out of here." Or the sun burns them and they have to get out of wherever they are. I mean, do you understand what the Bible says? And see, what I'm telling you is genetics. What geneticists know today is everything that I've said is absolutely true. It's not even disputed. A geneticist would say, yes, our genome can be traced back and there would have been the ability to have a great diversity many generations back, as anybody that breeds animals knows to be true too. So back to Genesis 6:13. So again, "I will destroy them with the earth." It was global. Peter talked about it too. Formerly, only eight people were saved. Everybody on the earth. See, not reasons to believe says everybody died. Other people say, "Oh no, just the people in that area died." And I'm just saying, even Peter says everybody died, and he had privy knowledge with Jesus, who talked about the flood of Noah, and he was inspired by God when he wrote that. "I'll destroy them with the earth." Verse 13. "Make make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And then it talks about how big it's supposed to be. It's as big as a stadium. A football stadium from, you know, front to back would fill the entire flat area before the bleachers on a football stadium. It was made to be not a ship, not an ocean-going powered ship or sailboat. It's made to be a floating tub. And it was big enough to house all the kinds of animals. How many dogs had to go on to the ark? Two. Only two. And out of every dog that you see today, from a little Chihuahua to a Great Dane, were all represented in the genes of those two dogs that went on the ark. Same thing with cats, same thing with birds, same things with dinosaurs. And I would imagine God told the little dinosaurs to go onto the ark. Not the big ones. The little dinosaurs would have gone off and everything by their kind. And they would have gone and been diverse after the flood. People say, what happened to the dinosaurs? They lived around after the flood. And there's plenty of evidence to support that. But they died off because the environment was not the same as it is before the flood. Or before it was, as it was before the flood. And it says, so in verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, global, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And so birds and animals had to go onto the ark, breathing flesh, but the insects don't breathe, so they didn't have to come on. All the fish, people say, no, how could you have gotten fish? How could you have had aquariums on the ark? It doesn't say that the fish went on the ark. It says that everything that has breath of life. Well, dolphins, they have to breathe with lungs. They don't have gills. Okay, yeah, they got, but they're fish. You know, they're able to come up for air. And so, nope, the dolphins weren't in an aquarium on the ark either. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all flesh shall bring you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And that is not required if it was a local geographic flood, right? Absolutely not required. All those animals could have scattered. They would have been scattered all over the world. Animals scatter a lot quicker than people do. And they would have been scattered over the world in the 1,000 years or so between creation and the flood. Of the birds after their kind, not species. And by the way, birds, can birds fly a long time over water? Like the entire Pacific Ocean? I mean, we have migratory birds that fly the entire distance of the Pacific Ocean on their trip to do migratory things. And so they can get away from a local flood. Of animals after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. And now let's turn to Isaiah 11:6. I know we're almost out of time here, but let's turn to Isaiah 11:6, because I want to emphasize this. In fact, one time my son, getting corrupted by the college education, he called me once from college. And he was being affected, questioning the creation, questioning the flood. And he was saying, hey, Dad, you know, we just learned that lions, they cannot. You told me that before the flood, everything was vegetarian. But there's animals we're learning about that they have to eat carnivorously. They have to eat meat. And they can't. And I said, well, they changed. You know, after the fall of man, after the flood, things changed. But God is going to bring it back. We can't look at animals and things today and say this is what they were before the fall of man. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb in Isaiah 11:6. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Now, I mean, even today, the leopard would like to lay down next to the young goat. But the young goat doesn't want to lay down next to the leopard. But it's implied here, and they're okay with that. They're both okay with that. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Hey, kid, what are you doing? Just taking my little leopard for a walk down the street. The cow and the bear shall graze. Now, the cow and the bear will graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Now, I've heard that some of the zookeepers during the days of World War II, when meat was unavailable, that the lions reverted to eating grain. I don't know if it's true, but I know that when Jesus comes back, this is what's going to happen. They're going to lie down and be able to eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know what's wrong with the world today? Is that we don't have a knowledge of God. And as soon as we have and here's one way that we in this fallen world can have a knowledge of God. We get our heart and mind into the Word of God, the written Word of God, and we let the power of His Holy Spirit just change us. All of a sudden, things, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and nothing hurts, nothing destroys. The problem with the world today in this saber rattling over in the Middle East is because people do not have a knowledge of God. That's the source of every problem that we have, is people do not fear and have a knowledge of the God who created the heavens and the earth. So, these animals are coming on the ark, and they're not looking at each other and saying, wait until Noah's not watching, People say that. Oh, how do you get these carnivorous animals on there with the sheep and the stuff, and how are they not fighting, and how do they keep it away, and what about the food that you have to bring on for the meat eaters? They didn't have to bring meat on for the meat eaters. They just had to bring grain and things that, they were before the flood, everything could eat of the fruit of the field. And God made them that way. And He changed things after that. So, and thus Noah did, going back to 6:22, and we'll close with this, and we'll pick it up there next week. And thus Noah did. I want you to go and get ready for all these animals to come, bring in the food for you and for them, vegetarian food, bring it all into them. And thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Aren't we glad? And we're going to emphasize next week that Noah was told to do this to save humanity, to make this salvation ark that would keep 8 people alive. And today, God is upset with human beings again. The whole world's turning against him. And he's going to unleash a judgment by fire this time. And he's told us, the next judgment is a judgment by fire. And this is how you're going to know you're getting close. We're seeing we're getting close. And we're seeing everything line up. And he's saying, I want you to go out and do the Great Commission. Now, there was somebody who sent me an article that Barna, you've heard of Barna poll? It polls religious issues. And this last Barna poll was asking church-going Christians, what is the Great Commission? And 51% couldn't answer. Would that say that we've got a problem? That's a serious problem. If the church of today cannot train the people, I hope everybody here knows the Great Commission. The Great Commission is when God has commissioned us to go out into the world to preach Jesus to the lost so that they can get on the ark Jesus before the fire comes this time. That's what the Great Commission is, to go out and make disciples. And the fact that half the church can't answer that question is to me another sign of how close we are, because the apostasy is upon us and nobody cares about what our commanding officer has given us a commission to do, the Great Commission, to go preach this Jesus to the lost until They don't want to listen anymore. They stop coming. They're mocking, scorning, and then God takes us home and he gives them what they want. A world where there's no God. No Jesus. Cast off their bonds. Cast them away. You know, the kings of the world plotting against the Lord and his anointing. Get out of here. God gives them what they want. And just before they annihilate themselves, he comes back. And so we're so thankful that for those that great commissioned us into coming to saving faith. Amen. So are we going long? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and for the joy of being able to know you and trust you. And we do pray you'd give us an extra urgency for the lost that are in our midst, especially with the how frail things could become so quickly in the world situation. Lord, we thank you again for the peace that passes understanding that you've given your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Today, for all of us, and on Judgment Day, everybody, right? Because tragically, many people don't allow Jesus to be their Lord. But he is really, in the end. So God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again. And keep your eyes on him in the days that lie ahead.